This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Welcome to the Down to Dunk Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht, and today I have special guest Jonathan Charks of Real GM. Jonathan, how's it going, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. A lot of people feel kind of down about the Thunder. For myself, I actually feel better about this team after the game on Saturday. There were some big mistakes at the end of the game, no doubt. But I feel better about this team than I did Friday night. Is it wrong for me to feel more encouraged after Saturday's loss?
I don't know. I mean, it was really an entertaining game. Yeah. I think for me, it's more about like the big general theme versus like the nitty gritty X's and O's in a game like that. That was just a fun game to watch. Ball cool in either way, a game like that. And, you know, not many teams can challenge the Warriors at all. So I guess there's a moral victory there.
Yeah. And Durant kind of addressed that at the end. Like, there's really no moral victories for him. And for me, like, I just think that the Warriors are incredible. And I think that you should, if you're putting money on anything, you should put it on the Warriors. I think they're going to win it all. But the Warriors are pushing the Thunder to be a better team. Like, they played better than they have all season on Saturday. And I think that they're going to continue to push them to be better and better. And I guess what it comes down to is I just don't know that the role players can be all that great. So do Durant and Westbrook have another level to go to? And I'm really interested to find out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Thunder have the best chance of beating the Warriors in any team in the league, but I'm not sure how much that chance really is, and they're probably going to break the record by, like, two or three games, possibly. So
yeah,
it's just hard to say.
Yeah, when Curry went down with that ankle injury, it looked like nearly all of that was in the balance. Like, it looked pretty bad, and I haven't heard anything. Have you heard anything on what the status is of his ankle? Is he just, like, fine now?
I guess, and he played the rest of the game. I don't know anything beyond that.
Yeah, I just wonder, because sometimes, like, if you sprain your ankle, you can come back and stay in the game and kind of keep it warm, and then the next day you wake up and it's just stiff, and you can't do anything with it for, you know, a week or something. And I haven't heard a peep about it. So, what was the most impressive thing to you about the Thunder's performance on Saturday?
Well, I think the biggest, like, positive is that they can score on the Warriors. Like, not many teams can do that, but they can pretty much get buckets from the Golden State pretty much at will, which is, that's very encouraging. Like, nobody can stop Durant whatsoever, which, like, it's not a real surprise, but it always gives you a chance in a game when you're a guy that good on your team.
Yeah, and you think, you look at the Warriors and you're like, wow, they have Andre Iguodala, they have Harrison Barnes, they have Draymond, they have even Sean Livingston. Like, they have all the guys that you would want to throw at Durant. And still, like, there's no answer for him.
And he just plays taller than those guys. And he has, like, he has the wingspan of a center and the handle of a point guard and a shooting body of a shooting guard. No one can really guard him. I would say, like, him and Steph are pretty much the two most unguardable players I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. And it was such a fun game. I mean, I'm still just, like, the biggest fan. Like, a lot of people that, like, cover teams and stuff or involve them in blogs and stuff, try to, like, take the emotion out of it. Like, I was incredibly emotional during that entire game because, like, that was my team. And it was an incredible game as a fan to watch. Although I wish that it turned out differently. I have a question from Twitter from @OldDirtyMath. Will Steph Curry regress? Like, is that something that's going to happen, or is this just who he's going to be? What is your opinion on that?
I mean, it's hard to say. Like, no one else has done what he's done before, so you kind of have to throw out the historical precedents. Like, logically, you would think you can't make 30-foot shots at the rate he makes them, but yet, apparently he does. So,
yeah.
I mean, who knows, really?
Yeah.
Like, what he's doing is so off the charts, it's hard to say either way.
Right. So, if Durant or Westbrook took the final shot that Steph Curry took, I think people would think, oh, this is a prayer, this probably won't go in. But when Curry took it, you just knew it was going to go in. Like, he just pulled up like he was pulling up from 15 feet, but he was pulled up from 38 and a half feet, and he just swished it. And it was just not a surprise. Like, it's when we talk about, like, him regressing, like, it's almost hard to imagine it at this point after watching him do what he does.
Yeah, I remember, like, I was watching that play, and I was like, Robertson's backing up too far. But my friend was like, he's 40 feet from the basket. But I don't care.
It doesn't matter. You've got
to stop backing up, dude.
Yeah. For the most part, I thought the Thunder did a great job on him. I think he maybe had, like, one, maybe two, like, open threes. But beyond that, like, you know, Steven Adams got out on him for a shot that, like, nobody in the whole world can make. He was just that good. And, you know, a lot of times just a great offense will beat a great defense every time. And I thought, honestly, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I thought the Thunder played that Warriors team about as good as you can.
I think for me, with how Steph's playing now, I'd go to the old Nationals, the Mavs have against him, where they just let him score all the time and said, we're not going to let you beat the scorer and the passer. We're going to give you the points because you're going to score regardless. We're going to try to score on everybody else. Like, to me, if I was OKC, I'd focus on Klay Thompson. I'd say, can we get this guy's points below, like, 20, 25? Because I think you got to get Steph his 35 a night. That's just going to happen regardless.
I think that's a pretty good idea. And I thought, you know, after the game, I was like, oh, they really did a great job on Klay Thompson. And then I looked at the box score and I was like, oh, he had 32 points. Like, how did that happen? Because they covered him well from the three-point line, and he kind of shook loose a little bit in overtime and toward the end of the game. But he didn't hit a three until, like, toward the end of the fourth quarter. So I thought they did a pretty good job on him, but he still scored 32 points. So, I mean, I can't disagree. And the Thunder overall covered the three-point line really well. It didn't really leave much open, which is – it's just a stark difference between the way that they have been playing, though. Like, they played Indiana. Like, they gave Indiana, like, every open shot in the world. Same with the Pelicans. I mean, the Pelicans had so many wide-open threes, and you just kind of tremble as a Thunder fan, like, thinking, like, what is going to happen against the Warriors? But they actually – did the exact opposite. Like, they showed up and played defense. I don't know, to feel encouraged or to feel like frustrated with this team, because we know what they're capable of.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put that on Durant and Westbrook. Like, you just can't be messing around. When Golden State's playing like 75 games, you can't be like not maximizing your potential on a given night. Like, if you really want to win a championship, the bar is that high. So it's just unacceptable to not play your highest every single night.
Yeah, because I mean,
you want to win. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, like, Durant, I mean, they're always saying, like, they want to win, they want to win, but it's, you just don't see that same kind of effort from them. Like, you know that they're getting up for these big games. Another change that's happened with this team is that since acquiring Randy Foy at the trade deadline, campaign has been delegated to the bench. Like, he's just not playing anymore. Is there a chance that he gets back in the rotation? And then a question from at Dustin Talley, is Durant just the backup point guard now?
I mean, I hope so. I got to say, like, this reminds me so much of Derek Fisher over Reggie Jackson and Crumble over Jeremy Lamb. Like, the Thunder just bringing these old veterans who really can't play anymore, and they stick the young guy on the bench, and they act surprised the young guy's quote-unquote inconsistent. They give them no chance to succeed, and they give all these old guys who really can't play, they give them every chance to fail. It's hard to watch, honestly. Like, I saw Foy, I guess it was like Lindsay was in Dallas, and it was pretty unimpressive. He's not very big. He can't really drive anymore. He just shoots a lot of bad shots. He seems like an older version of Deion Waiters. I don't think they're kind of both at the same time, really.
Yeah, it is kind of frustrating because when Payne came in, like, he was like a change of pace. He was a spark plug, and of course he's not a great defensive player, and really kind of looked rattled a little bit in the first game against the Warriors. But to me, it seems more like an opportunity to develop him the rest of the year with the really difficult schedule and prepare him for the playoffs, because he's a guy who can hit shots, he can get to the basket, he has a really nice floater, and he's really good at getting his teammates involved. It's just kind of frustrating to see another guy, like you said, just this veteran who really can't do a whole lot anymore besides spot up, take those minutes.
I mean, you don't see Golden State playing guys like that. Like, Golden State runs a pretty tight ship over there. If you can't play, they get you out of there pretty fast. Like, watch Barrejo. If he plays like he played the other night, he's not going to play very much for them.
Right.
Like, that's what it has to be these days. You really can't afford to waste minutes on anybody.
Right. And it it'll just be interesting to see what happens in the playoffs anyways. Like, what wings are they going to choose to play? Like, is Kyle, are they going to still going to, you wrote an article that they're basically trying to rehabilitate Kyle Singler. And he's really one of their best options, you know, going forward as like a small ball, whatever he is, small ball forward. But what do you think is OKC's best five in general? And then is that the same best five that you'd play against the Warriors, or is it a different five?
See, the tough thing for me is I feel like Adams is clearly the fourth best player. Like, yeah. To reach their ceiling, they got to play Adams a lot. But against the Warriors, it's just tough to play Adams and Ibaka together. And that's really, I think, maybe the underlying problem right now. Is can you keep Steven Adams on the floor against Golden State? And maybe you can do that when they're playing like Bogut and State and Varejao. But I think if I was a Thunder fan, what worried me the most about the game on Saturday is that they only played Draymond at the five, maybe like 4 or 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much they left the ace card in the bag the whole night. So it gets to the playoffs, they'll be playing Draymond at the five at least 20 minutes a night. And if you look at that game, I think it was the last 5 minutes, they might have a 10-point lead going to the lineup of death, going five out. And I don't know. Like, can Adams play in that lineup? I think maybe eventually he can. I think he has the skills for, but that might be when Adams is 25, 26, 27.
Right.
And now when he's 22. And that to me is maybe the biggest question right now about this. Is whether they can get more out of Steven Adams coming in the playoffs.
Yeah. I agree that Adams is definitely their fourth best player. Who is the wing that you put out there with Durant and Westbrook?
God. I don't know, man. Like, y'all watch more than I do, but when I watch a Thunder, I can't really impress any of those guys, any of those wings, really.
Yeah. Ugh. Kind of like in with your... Does it pass, like, in my head, this should work kind of thing? Like, everybody seems to choose Anthony Morrow. But he doesn't play. Like, the guy just will not touch the floor. He didn't touch the floor at all against Golden State. He's more of an afterthought. And so, basically, you're choosing between Robertson, Waiters, and Singler. And I think that your response is probably the proper response, where you're just like, it probably doesn't even really matter who you play.
I mean, I guess, like, when they're moving, when they staggered KD and Russ's minutes, it gives them more chances for Robertson to play with a smaller lineup where it's not, like, as negative. But, man, it felt like even on his layups last night, like, they were very questionable. Like, he cast the ball from, like, 5 feet of the basket. But, man, I hope he makes his layup. I don't care if he's wide open or not. Like, it's going to be tough shot for him. But he made some of those spot-up threes. So, like, if he can just make that wide-open stand-still corner three, I don't know. If he could make that shot somehow. And then Waiters, I sometimes see him playing good defense. If he could just stop taking those like 22-foot fadeaways, that would be nice.
I think the worst thing that happened for the Thunder against the Warriors is that he made two of those against them. I do ultimately think that the best case is Robertson. But the problem is, like, you saw it in the overtime, man. Like, the floor was just shrunk. Like, it was gone whenever Durant came out. Like, they had Singler and Robertson out there with Ibaka. I mean, like, there's nowhere for Westbrook to go. Like, he had to, like, drive through everybody. And then he just, like, miraculously got the ball to Robertson. And then he miraculously made shots. It's incredible that they even scored. Because, I mean, there was just no space on the floor. But it makes it really hard when you have a guy like that to score. And I'm amazed that the Thunder I thought, oh man, like, they're going to get blown out now. But they actually hung with them. But it's just tough because there's just no space at all.
To me, the most talented five is the big three plus Payne and Adams. And I think maybe that's why, like, 2 years from now, it would be freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, right now, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that, because this team is desperate for passers. They have Westbrook, they have Durant, and then it's Payne. And then who else is it? Like, no one else is even like a league average passer from there.
McGarry, maybe?
Yeah, but McGarry's...
He's not playing, obviously.
Yeah, and he doesn't even play. I agree. I think McGarry...
I'm curious what y'all think about him versus Cantor.
I think he's worse on defense than Cantor, at least with the small sample size. I think that he just last year, people weren't ready for the energy that he brought. Like the dude just sprinted up and down the court every single play that he was out there, and everybody's like looking at him like, "Chill out, dude." And meanwhile, like he's scoring and like rebounding and doing all this stuff, and he's got good court vision. You're probably right. He's the best passer among all the big men. But Cantor's ability to score around the basket and the fact that they're playing a defense that doesn't really it's really helped him a lot this year. I don't know how much he's improved as a defender himself, but I think that the scheme has really helped him. I think just giving him like the 15 to 20 minutes is probably going to be better than what McGarry can bring you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised they tried to trade McGarry for a wing player. It felt like that was the move on the table they had to maximize the team this season.
Yeah, and that's what we continually put in the trade machine here in Oklahoma City was like a combination of McGarry and Augustine for like P.J. Tucker or for Gerald Henderson or somebody like that. And, you know, they didn't do it, and it may be because they're preparing for something in the offseason or they believe in McGarry or maybe – I mean, do you think McGarry has value around the league? I polled a few people, and people were like, he's a spare part. Like, he's not really worth much. But what do you think about him? What's his value?
What did Charlotte, you know, when the Hornets got Courtney Lee, it was like two second-round picks, I think. And like Ryan Roberts, maybe? I think McGarry has that much value.
They ended up getting four second-round picks for Courtney Lee.
Like, I would say McGarry for two second-round picks, that's for sure. I don't know exactly the value, but it's not nothing. It's something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you wish that they did because, I mean, I hope the Thunder aren't delusional enough to believe that they have an answer at the wing because they just really don't. And I don't know if you have seen this guy play at all. I haven't. I've talked with a few people that have. Alex Abrines, who is a guy who's playing in Spain right now, is a guy who the Thunder own the draft rights to. And he's apparently like a really smart two guard. Like he can shoot well. He's like 50-40-90 this year. He's a good passer. They say he's smart. He's not a great defender, but he's smart and knows where to be. I wonder if like the Thunder like are going to let Waiters go and know that they can, if they promise him some minutes, like he could be an answer where they don't have to like trade McGarry and trade Cantor or trade somebody to get a wing. So I wonder if that's kind of in the back of their mind.
I haven't seen him play, but I would trust their scouting department. They don't make too many mistakes when it comes to evaluating young players. So he's probably a pretty good player. I have no idea.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm just telling you stuff that I've heard. I haven't watched him play at all. But I'm excited at the prospect of him. But let's say that he and there's a lot of people that think he won't come at all. Like he loves playing in Spain. He's basically a superstar there. He probably lives on the beach and has whatever he wants there and doesn't really need to come and be like the 10th man on an NBA team. But let's get to the off season. Durant signs at least like a 1-year deal with the Thunder. And then Thunder are going to have some choices to make. Like all likelihood they get to the second round and lose to the Spurs, or they at least get to the conference finals and lose to the Warriors. And then I think that they're going to have to really make some choices with these bigs. Like they can't play everybody and they're just way too stacked with their big guys and they just don't have enough help on the wing. If it were your choice, who would you try to trade? And then I don't even know where to start. But let's just start with who do you think that they should look to trade in the offseason?
Well, I think I would want to keep Adams and Ibaka, and I would trade anybody else to have to get a wing. Mm-hmm. The problem is, like, I think in the league right now, very few teams are going to want to make a big for a wing trade. Everybody wants to trade bigs for a wing, not wings for a big. That's right. Where the league is going, so it'd be tough. I mean, I don't know if, like, push came to shove, and I had to give up Adams. I don't know if I would do that, but it would be really tempting. But I don't think I would do that either.
It would have to be something big.
I would target, you know, I would target some of those guys in Portland. I was watching them the other day. Mm-hmm. They've got Alan Crabb, Gerald Henderson, Al-Farouq Aminu, and Mo Harkless. And yeah. I would take any of those four guys on Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
I know Crabb's going to be an RFA. I would try to see maybe if Portland, like Enes Kanter, get that going again. But I think they have a team with a lot of extra wings. I'd go for one of those guys, I guess. off the top of my head.
I think that's a great place to start, because obviously they do like Cantor, and if they, I mean, I think like a Al-Farouq Aminu, is Gerald Henderson, I think he may be expiring. I don't remember though.
I don't know.
But if it's Al-Farouq Aminu plus whatever it takes to get up to that number, which would actually be quite a bit, because he's on a
great deal. That's the tough part about Shelly Cantor.
On a great
deal. I guess everybody has cap space now, so that's not a big deal.
Right.
They can like take in the more salary.
That's true. They could just swap Al-Farouq Aminu for Enes Kanter, and I think that would be a win for both teams.
I don't think they would do that, but maybe Alan Crabb for Kanter. That's kind of more realistic.
Yeah. Man, it's gonna be tough. The Thunder, like it used to be, and you wrote a piece about it, basically that the Thunder are built to beat the Lakers of 2008 through 2011. And they would definitely compete and probably beat those teams. But now almost every team in the league is starving for wings, like good two-way wings. And the Thunder have none outside of Durant and Westbrook, obviously, but they just have none. And I think that you were onto something when you were saying like in a few years, like it could be Cameron Payne and Steven Adams that'll complete that, but like they need answers now. Like this is a team that's ready to compete and could win a title now. If they had Al-Farouq Aminu right now and that was their fifth guy, like I think there'd be a lot more people that would look at the Thunder and pick them to win the title, just because their big three is just, they will just steamroll you. And if they just had one more competent wing, they could steamroll the league right now, but they just can't.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, like, OKC supporting cast as Golden State, right? Take away Thompson, Green, and Curry from Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
Take away Serge, Katie, and Rushmore from Oklahoma City. The Warriors still have Barnes, Livingston, Iguodala. I mean, those three guys, they're still like those three guys on Oklahoma City's roster. They just don't have the same quality of wing depth at all.
Right.
And I think the funny thing to me, like, I kind of bet if Golden State had to play Bogut 30 minutes a night, I think the Thunder could beat the Warriors. Like, you look at the numbers from Saturday, Bogut played like 18 minutes, he was like minus 19.
Yeah.
Like, when they're playing a traditional two big man lineups, OKC has the edge, but obviously Golden State, they don't play their traditional basketball. They've changed the game, and they also got to adapt.
Yeah, because the death lineup killed the Thunder on Saturday. I don't know if people realize it, but it just killed them. And they didn't have much of an answer. And some of it, I think, had to do with, like, Durant was in foul trouble at that point, and then obviously fouled out of the game, and I think that made, obviously, a big impact. But, yeah, that death lineup just destroyed them, and they really – I think that Donovan is like, I don't know that Donovan is putting Payne to the bench forever, but I do think that he's just like trying Randy Foy. And to me, if he just sticks with Foy from now through the playoffs, it tells me that this is more of like a management thing than it is a coaching thing. Cause it's just, it looks too much like what Scott Brooks did, for this to be like something that Billy Donovan came to the conclusion of.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. I mean, I don't even really mind Foy that much. It's just like, why play him in the Lakers? They're the exact same player. They think they got both of them out there.
Yeah. What do you think about Dion Waiters, and what kind of contract is he going to even get in the offseason? Like, I think Dion Waiters is fun. Like, I love rooting for the guy, but I'm realistic about, like, what he can do. Like, he'll have good games some nights, and then on other nights, like, he is really harmful to the team because he just takes stupid shots. But sometimes when he's spotting up and he's hitting his spot ups and he's playing good defense, like, he can be valuable. But man, what do you think that he'll command in the offseason, or what does that conversation even look like?
I don't know. That's so tough. I like, because if you go to like Basketball Reference, and I look at like the two man combinations, like the top 20 for the team. And you look at like the bottom like seven or eight, he's in like all of them.
Yeah.
And that's with Durant and Westbrook. Like, even those guys can't bring him up that much. It's really, I don't know, he's going to get that much money. Because his rep is pretty, I mean, he was number overall, four overall pick, mm-hmm. but his rep isn't very high. Like, I can't imagine he's going to get double figures. I can't imagine it. But his smarts is going to be so crazy. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, it's going to get like, crazy. But it was kind of crazy last summer, and J.R. Smith couldn't get anything. So I wonder if it'll be similar.
I would take J.R. over Deion, that's for sure.
Yeah, because he can shoot. Yeah, I mean, if Deion could actually shoot the ball, like he'd be very valuable. But J.R. only got $5 million last summer. I mean,
looking back on it, it's kind of crazy, that trade. What if they had just taken Shumpert and Smith instead of Deion? Where would they be right now? I don't understand the logic of that.
They would be way better. It's not even a question. Because it does. I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm sure New York would have welcomed the first round pick that they gave to Cleveland instead of doing the Waiters deal. And the Thunder, I mean, and that's what's weird is that the Thunder had been rumored to be interested in Shumpert for a long time. Like, apparently there was almost a trade for a first-round pick for Shumpert in the previous trade deadline, and it just never materialized. But it was kind of strange that we didn't see the Thunder receiving the package that Cleveland did. It's just funny because you think like, oh, maybe they just didn't want to deal with J.R. Smith, but they're getting back a guy in Deion Waiters who doesn't have exactly a clean reputation either. So you're right. I think obviously the Thunder would be in a much better position because you'd have at least a guy in J.R. who can shoot, and when he's motivated can play defense, and then you have a quote unquote 3-and-D guy with Shumpert who. I mean, he's not terribly consistent. He's injury prone, but still, you'd much rather have those two guys.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, last question. What does KD do in the offseason?
I mean, if I did that answer, I'd be in Vegas right now, right? Making bucks. It feels like, just from the outside, it feels like the 1-year deal. So him and Russ and Serge are all up at the same time. Because I think, like, the money is crazy if he waits one more year for a max contract. We're talking, like, an extra $20, $25 million on his max deal if he waits.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like the option. Though, to be honest, if I was him, I would think long and hard about Golden State. That'd be awfully fun to play for that team. I don't know.
It's almost an assured title, like, immediately, if he does that. I mean,
forgetting the title, it'd be fun to play with those guys, play with Steph, and live in Oakland, man, live in, like, the new place to be. And I don't know.
What do you think about the idea of him being, like, the third most popular Warrior at that point with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and then Durant? Like, how do you think that he would handle that? I just wonder, like ego is, like, a big part of, like, being in the NBA. And I just wonder, like, is he ready to take that massive ego hit to be, you know, really, really the second wheel, but in maybe even in popularity being, like, the third guy in Oakland?
I would say the thing is, like, it would be kind of unfortunate because I think KD should be on a team where he can shoot the ball, like, 25 times a game. That's, like, what makes him so great. That would be almost unfortunate to watch him go somewhere where he'd be a role player. They'd shoot, like, 15 times a game.
Right.
It wouldn't really maximize his abilities or anything else. And that's the question he's got to ask himself, is whether he wants to score, like, because he could probably score 40 points a game if he really wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
So there's someone where he could, like, 12 shots a game. I don't know. That'd be the question for me.
Yeah. It's clearly to me Oklahoma City or Golden State. Like, I don't know. All the other suitors to me are kind of out, like Houston being one and the Wizards and probably even the Heat, who just don't seem to be able to hold it together. And then, like, they have the whole Hassan Whiteside weirdness. And then I guess the Lakers are another one. And, you know, the Lakers have just screwed up so much in the past few years. Like, it would just be – he would just go there because he wanted to be a Laker. Has nothing to do with the way that the management has handled anything. Yeah, I honestly just think it's down to OKC or Golden State. And it does he want to be the man, or does he want to win all the titles and dance with Steph Curry every night? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like, I thought, I always thought the DC stuff was kind of silly. He's not going to leave somewhere to play on a worse team.
Yeah.
So you're looking at just Golden State. And I think maybe the other option, I think, is next year, him and Russ and Serge up at the same time. They can all go to L.A. and play for the Lakers. That might be a possibility down the road.
Yeah.
Because I think, don't they live in L.A. in the offseason? I know Russ and KD do. So,
yeah.
I think that's kind of cap space. They can find both those guys.
Yeah, if they could get them both and prove to have like a good supporting cast around them, and maybe trade some of their younger guys for like pieces that are ready to win now. Like they have assets to make big moves.
Yeah.
So it's not inconceivable. But at this point, just looking at what the Lakers have been the past few years, I would be pretty surprised.
Also, I think they're going to fire Jim Buss if they don't get good next year, is the plan in L.A.
So right.
They'd be like, hey, we're starting over, all this cap space, come live in L.A., bring you and Russell. That's probably the plan if I'm the Lakers right now.
Yeah, we'll stop being stupid. You can come play for us. We'll be great again and come be the center of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Make the Lakers great again, dude.
Make the Lakers great again. I will not. I will be totally against that, as I am for other things like that. But Jonathan, thanks for coming on the podcast today. We can follow you on Twitter at Jonathan Charks. Will you spell out your Twitter handle for us?
Last name is spelled TJARKS.
Read Jonathan on Real GM. You have to follow him on Twitter. You need to read all of his stuff. He's one of my favorite writers, and if you're not following him and reading his stuff, you're really missing out. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. You can follow us at DTD Podcast, and you can find our stuff at dailythunder.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.